Welcome to the brightest audience in the nation to the Bob Enyart Live February Telethon. During our telethon this month, we're offering a free gift, Bob's video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, when you become a new subscriber to any of our monthly subscriptions. Our newest product, our monthly sermon audios on standard compact disc, allows you to listen to the sermon on any CD player, including the one in your car. You can also get the monthly sermons on MP3 CD, or you can get the video version of the monthly sermon videos on DVD. Bob's monthly Bible studies are now available on DVD or MP3 CD. These are great for starting your own family Bible study or a neighborhood Bible study. And Bob's monthly topical videos give you a new topical video each month, and with the best of Bob, you can get the best 8 Bob Enyart Live shows every month. By becoming a new subscriber to any of Bob's monthly products, making a new monthly donation of $20 or more, or a one-time donation of $50, you'll receive the video series, Having a Great Prayer Life, free of charge, special this month for the Bob Enyart Live February Telethon.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. Bob, could you hand me some of those new offerings Bob Enyart Library?
We have some of the greatest DVDs now, Doug, and we've got our telethon going.
Yes!
But I see you got something about Mitt Romney there.
Oh, Mitt Romney.
I thought
Mitt
we could Romney. Start with Mitt Romney, even though the telethon is more important.
Well, can I tell you, I'm sorry I couldn't be with you yesterday. Kickoff of the telethon.
Yeah.
But, of course, the huge story about the Komen Foundation, wow, that's just big
Isn't
news.
That exciting? That exciting. Yesterday we had Leslie Hanks on. She was on KHOW with Kaplis and Silverman. And, Doug, it's big. And we used the opportunity to put out a press release nationwide, American Right to Life, that the National Cancer Institute's lead researcher on abortion and breast cancer has reversed her position. And she's now published that abortion is a risk factor for breast cancer.
Yeah, incredible.
And that needs to be explained to the public because the media is not doing it. So we got
to
do it.
It's incredible. I want to congratulate you, American Right to Life, Colorado Right to Life.
Wow.
Leslie Hanks, everyone who's worked tirelessly.
Ken and Joe Scott, they've been going for 15 years, actually, 15 years to protest the race for the cure. To say stop funding Planned Parenthood because abortion is a risk factor for breast cancer. And lo and behold, Komen Foundation now announced they're halting funding of Planned Parenthood nationwide. And we think it's the pro-life pressure and that abortion increases the incidence of breast cancer.
That's the bottom line. And for those of you who didn't hear the show, you can go to KGOV.com. Yeah. It's archived there from yesterday.
But and our telethon is important, but I wanted to know what you got about Mitt Romney because he was in the news.
First of all, let me just tell you, Tuesday night, watching the news Tuesday night reminded me of watching ESPN after the Patriots beat the Broncos. It was just painful to see Mitt Romney victorious in Florida. There's a story out today that I caught. It's from CBS out in Detroit. And it's basically Mitt Romney's wife, Ann Romney, talking up Mitt's conservative credentials.
Right.
So she says she finds it funny that people have been accusing Mitt of being a liberal. She says, what's next? Are you going to call him a communist? Now, we're not going to call him a communist, right?
No, but
we don't think he's a communist.
But a socialist and someone who's authorized homosexual marriage. And somebody who authorized tax-funded late-term abortion on demand.
Yeah.
Somebody like that. And, Doug, Romney, we haven't talked much about Romney being a Mormon. I don't believe there should be a religious test for government office.
No, and I agree with you, although initially I disagreed with you.
Wow.
But you've moved me on that. Moving the world to the right, that's what you do.
Moving the world to the right.
Sometimes
right?
even in your own circle of friends, you got to push people to the right. But you are correct. I realize that it would
corrupt
the
religious
test
for government office, what it does is it doesn't help the government. It harms the religion.
Yeah.
I've been there, done that, got the shirt, just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mormonism, regardless, it's valid to talk about Mormonism.
Yeah.
And you know how on Fridays, Fred Williams and I, Real Science Friday,
oh, yeah,
we've been talking about the DNA studies regarding Eve and Adam.
Yeah.
The first Adam and the first Eve genetically. When scientists look, they go back in history and they look at our mutation rates and they say the one woman from whom all human beings alive have come from lived about 6,000 years ago.
Imagine that.
That's in Science Magazine.
Which is not a right-wing fundamentalist creationist
no.
publication.
And you could just go to Real Science Friday, click on List of Not-So-Old Things, and read about mitochondrial Eve. And the same thing with Y chromosomal Adam, only he's even more recent because of the genetic bottleneck of the global flood. Well, then when you look at the Book of Mormon, the things in it do not conform to reality the way reality conforms to the Bible, God's Word.
Yeah.
And I'd like to give two examples. One is American Indians and...
I believe those are called Native Americans now.
Native Americans.
Yes.
And not only Navajo and Apache, but even going back in history and into Central and South America, you had the Mayans.
Right, the Incas.
The Aztecs.
All the big, those are the top three.
Well, Joseph Smith wrote in the Book of Mormon, he said where these people came from.
Mm-hmm.
He said they were Jews from the Middle East just after the time of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And they got in ships and they took a compass and they found their way across the Atlantic and they settled in the Americas.
That's a neat story.
That's quite a story.
Yeah.
And they had coins and they had certain monetary units. Well, archaeologists have never found a single minted coin in any of the cities that Joseph Smith said existed.
Yeah.
This empire of Jews in America, which became now the Native Americans.
Uh-huh. The archaeologist Spade has not
confirmed not Joseph yet. Smith or the Book of Mormon.
Are they even digging out there, though? Maybe they just haven't.
They're digging all over the place.
I imagine the Mormons have some people working on
The Mormon project. Archaeologists are out there, too.
There are some.
And they haven't found any coins minted from these civilizations.
That's odd.
They haven't found wheels.
Oh, yeah, wheels.
So
that's pretty
embarrassing. Wheels.
Everyone who dwelt on this continent for all those thousands of years, that's pretty embarrassing that they never came up
with a wheel. Well, it is embarrassing that they never came up with a wheel. But, Doug, the Jews had wheels. They had carts. They had chariots.
Yes, they did.
David had chariots.
Mm-hmm.
They would not have forgotten how to make a wheel.
Yeah, how does that happen?
They didn't have a holy day, a Sabbath. They didn't have a dietary law.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't circumcise. And now, lo and behold, with genetics, DNA, American Indians, Native Americans, do not have the genetic marker that Jews all over the world have, ethnic Jews. So we know that they didn't come from the Middle East. They came over the land bridge up at the Bering Strait and all from Asia. That's known. That was known before genetics, and it's now doubly confirmed that they're from Asia. They're not Jews.
Okay, so I hear you quote the Bible often saying, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. How many witnesses
is that?
I think that's more than two or three. Even,
that the Book of Mormon is a fabrication. The Book of Mormon, there was an accusation a long time ago. Joseph Smith was a fraud. He was in jail.
I was going to say, did he write this stuff before or after he was arrested for fraud?
He was into polygamy. The early Mormon leaders wrote in their holy books that there are really many gods and humans become gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't know how many gods there were. God the Father in heaven was once a person like us. And they're not talking about the incarnation.
No.
They're talking about God the Father.
The creator,
God, And, I mean, it goes on and on and on. But Joseph Smith lived in New York State, and he used to get these lonely widows and all and bilk them out of a lot of money and tell them if they paid for him to go on an expedition, he would go and dig in the ground and find buried treasure.
Wow.
And he got a lot of money, and he was considered a con artist, and... Early on in the Mormon heyday, there were reports that you could go around Elmira, New York, and there were still, you grew up in Buffalo, right?
Yep, not far from Elmira.
Not far.
Yeah.
And there were reports that there are still the pits where Joseph Smith dug trying to find buried treasure for these widows.
It's laughable.
It's laughable. So what was the miracle that came upon him that created Mormonism? He found these plates, these
right.
buried plates.
And he had some special goggles.
Special
glasses,
right? Special spectacles.
Beer goggles, I always call them.
When he put those special goggles on,
yeah.
he could read, and he said it was written in Reformed Egyptian. In Reformed Egyptian, there was never any such language as Reformed Egyptian.
Don't find that on the Rosetta Stone.
No, you don't. And the Book of Mormon, it says there'll be witnesses, like the Bible says there will be witnesses.
Right.
Well, the witnesses mentioned in the Book of Mormon, a couple of them recanted.
Uh-oh.
And said it's all not true. It's bogus.
So the religion didn't collapse. Because why?
Because people are prideful and mm-hmm. they allowed men to have multiple wives.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think there should be a Christian litmus test for the president, but shouldn't there be a test for people who believe in laughable, incredible things?
Well, sure.
Because Mitt's not just your average Mormon. He's a magic underwear, secret handshake Mormon. He's way up there, you know.
He's given his church millions of dollars.
Yeah. And
millions.
And I suppose I got nothing against the fellas supporting his church, but when your church is based on a laughable, ridiculous fairy tale.
Yeah.
I just find it hard to give them
any
credibility.
They're going to have a crisis.
Yeah.
The Mormon church is going to have a crisis because the genetic evidence falsifying the number one central historical claim of the Book of Mormon
yeah.
is going to be a wedge between eventually tens of thousands of younger Mormons and the claims of their church.
Wow. So I guess they say now, Bob, we have to put aside all the strange, interesting, and wild and wacky things that happened in the history of the Mormon church and just focus on the fact that they're really just another sect of Christians just like us.
Yeah. Well, they're not because they're defective in their view of God.
Mm.
In fact, the president of the Mormon church, and that's a little weird to me, they have presidents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, president?
Yeah.
Of a church?
Yeah. Remember the 12 apostles were called the senators and the prophets?
I do remember Paul laying down the qualifications for an elder, yeah, a deacon, a
senator,
pastor.
Senator, Thomas.
Congressman, president. I don't think that was in there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. So their church has presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And the president of the Mormon church not long ago was interviewed by the San Francisco Chronicle and asked, well, don't your holy writings, didn't the founders of your religion, don't many of your books say that God the Father was once a man and there are all these gods? And he dodged it. He said, I'm not prepared to talk about that.
Not prepared to talk about the theological foundation of the church
that he's
of which you're the president.
The vice president.
The vice president.
Oh, no. He was the secretary of state. No, he was the president.
Wow.
He was the president. He was the Speaker of the House of Israel. He was the president of yeah. the Mormon church.
Pretty embarrassing that a fellow like this could rise to such prominence.
So here's Mitt Romney, and it's weird. And you know what it is going to do? It is going to normalize this cult, which is sending people to hell.
Mm, yeah.
Because
that's,
Christians.
That's the bigger issue right there.
Like Ann Coulter. Said,
yeah.
They're just Christians. Mitt Romney's just a Christian.
Yeah, I was quoting Ann Coulter earlier when I said that. Now, that's where I heard that.
Oh, you were?
Shocking.
Yeah.
Well, not really shocking from Ann, but certainly dispiriting
yeah.
for the conservative
and
movement.
And ProLifeProfiles.com has a profile on the whole Mormon church.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just go to it. Click on Tier 4. There's a profile for...
Wait a minute. Tier 4, that's the worst tier.
That's the
you
worst
tier. You
don't
want to be on that tier.
That's... Personhood, never.
Never, yeah.
Because they have, I think, five exceptions. They say killing a baby in the womb, it's murder.
Right.
But if you pray about it, you can have an abortion if the baby is handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a principle from God is that?
Yeah.
What, Jesus said, love your neighbor unless he has Down syndrome.
Yeah, then you can kill him.
Then you could kill him.
Wait a minute.
Then you could kill the
baby. I don't
even
think that's in the Book of Mormon, for crying
and
out.
So,
it's outrageous.
Right. They're backsliding on their own false scripture.
No kidding. Oh.
And so no wonder Mitt Romney has enough exceptions to drive a school bus of dead kids through every hour.
Yeah.
No wonder he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's not pro-life. He's just lying.
Well, wait a minute. Can I tell you what Ann Romney says?
Yeah.
Now, Ann Romney, this is a little bit like going to the kid who you just caught inside your house in the middle of it. It's like going to his mom for a character reference.
Right.
But Ann says, I know where Mitt's values are on a personal level. He's a conservative guy. I know he's governed from a conservative point of view, and I know how he will govern, which is from a conservative place to rein in the spending and help the country.
Yeah. Like he did in Massachusetts.
Right, where he
with their meltdown of their government health care reform, Romney
Total disaster. Can I give you a bold prediction from my wife?
Yeah.
My wife, Takako. Now, she's not a citizen. She can't vote. So this is all just entertainment for her.
All right.
But she says...
Where's she from?
She's from Okinawa, Japan.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, she says that when she looks at Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum, they look like the next president of the United States.
Hmm.
A very superficial thing.
Yeah.
She says, when I look at Mitt Romney, he looks like the guy who lost to Barack Obama.
He looks like the guy... who lost to Barack Obama.
It's a foregone conclusion, is what she's saying.
And it's going to be tragic to have Barack Obama for another 4 years.
Yeah.
But what would be worse would be to have Mitt Romney. That would be worse.
I agree.
So you never vote for the lesser of two evils.
No.
You don't vote for somebody who says, if elected, I will kill a certain number of innocent people.
No, never.
You don't do that. The Good Samaritan, Jesus said the Samaritans were not... believers in God.
Right.
He said they didn't know what they believed in, but Jesus used the Samaritan as an example of love who tried to save this victim of crime and not leave him for dead.
Right.
So would I be willing to work with that guy to save the innocent? Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
But when somebody like Mitt Romney says, hey, and then gives their whole list of all the kids he will kill, and all the kids he has killed, well, when Christians support that, they share in the guilt, so the lesser of two evils would be to vote for Barack Obama.
Correct.
But you don't vote for Barack Obama because he's a child killer, so you don't vote for Mitt Romney, which would be worse. So when Mitt Romney, if he ends up being the nominee, which I hope not, if he does, then... at least one positive outcome could be that Mitt Romney is the next John McCain.
Yes, I believe.
He's the next John McCain. He's the next Bob Dole.
Yeah, he can't motivate the base. He can't do it because he's not one of us.
Right.
He's the antithesis of everything the conservative base believes in.
Right.
And so he will lose. But this isn't over yet.
Yeah, you can't beat Obama if you can't motivate the base. And it is true that a lot of people who voted for Obama now are angry at him.
Yeah.
But he won by such a landslide, he could lose 99% of the landslide and win.
Yeah, yeah. I get the feeling already this morning that the more inevitable Romney looks, the more uncomfortable the Republican Party becomes with him. So this is not over by any means.
I think you're right. I hope you're right. And even still, even in Florida, Romney is the anti-personhood candidate.
Oh, he's been anti-personhood in all of the all
right.
Of the
and so the personhood
so
candidates combined, they're splitting the vote.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, of course not, Ron Paul is true personhood. He thinks that the federal constitution has no protection for unborn children, that its protection of persons should be interpreted as not applying to children in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
That's a godless conclusion that agrees with Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
It agrees with the central holding of Roe v. Wade that the child in the womb is not a person who should have the protections for persons in our nation.
Yeah.
So that's vile. But Ron Paul is not going to run as an independent.
Right. And his
if he did.
And well, yeah. And his prominence, no matter what happens, Ron Paul's prominence will not be normalizing a pagan religion that's actually, like you said, I mean, it's condemning people to eternity separate from the true living God.
Yeah.
That's the tragedy of the whole thing.
But so Ron Paul, if his son were not an ambitious politician, libertarian, Ron Paul might, because of his hatred of Republicans. He might go ahead and run as a spoiler, like Ralph Nader and the Green Party and all, and if he takes votes away from Al Gore or whatever. Ron Paul would do that this time around, I believe, but he has his son's political ambition to keep in mind, and the Republican Party would hate the Paul family if Ron Paul ran as an independent.
So that's the only thing that saves us is just raw political calculation on behalf of the Paul clan.
But if he did run, then he would lose and Romney would lose. So those would not be bad outcomes. It would be good for Romney to lose, good for Ron Paul to lose.
But then we still end up with Barack Obama.
But at least it's not with my support.
Well, there you go.
Because in Germany, there were districts where the Marxists and the Nazis shared a plurality, a majority of the vote.
Right, right.
And so there were people saying, well, I got to vote for the lesser of two evils. So history shows, you know, the Marxists are going to murder 20 million people and the Nazis are going to murder 6 million people. So I'm going to vote for the Nazis.
Yeah.
So there's no bottom to that abyss. If you're going to vote for the lesser of two evils to defeat Obama, eventually you'll vote for Obama to defeat somebody else. And if you can't see that, you're just dumb.
Yeah. Wow.
But no one ever accused the masses of not being dumb.
No, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. Yes. People always get on stage and they say, I trust the American people.
They only say that when they just won an election or when they're trying to goad people. Remember Solon of Athens?
Solon of Athens. Refresh my memory.
Oh.
It's been a while.
He's like 600 BC or so.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote that individually people walk with the steps of a fox. But taken together as a mass, their mind is void.
Oh. How appropriate. And that was 2,600 years ago.
Yeah, right.
He had his finger on the pulse. You know,
yeah.
This election cycle proves to me that democracy is the most embarrassing and foolish way to choose the next leader of the free world.
Democracy is the most divisive of all forms of government.
Yeah. It'd be better to just open up a phone book from a rural community and throw a dart at it and put that guy in. Or that girl, whoever the dart lands on.
And democracy is the best form of government, except for all others. I'm not a fan of democracy.
No, but I am a fan of Bob Inyart Live, and we want to keep you on the air for another year. Now, we do the telethon in February because February is the shortest month.
It's the shortest month, and it keeps us going like KGov.com and Real Science Friday, Doug. We're on the internet for a whole year with the money we raise in February. And then all our other revenue through the year helps us with our normal monthly expenses.
Right, right. And so, we need folks to give. In fact, I'm pledging $200.
What?
A matching pledge.
How could you pledge? You help produce the show.
I know, but I wouldn't ask anyone to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. So a $200 matching gift, folks can call right now to match the gift, 800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. You can call in and turn that 200 into 400 so we can kick off the telethon in style.
Thank you. And, Doug, not only could people give a one-time gift, but they could subscribe. We have the neatest monthly subscription offers.
Yes.
We have something brand new, hot off the presses.
Lay it on me.
It's the monthly sermon audio CDs.
Audio CDs.
And these play in any CD player, including the one in your car.
Oh, good. Yeah, right now I have to plug in my MP3 player. I actually bought a car because I thought it would play your MP3 CDs.
Yeah.
It was a Chrysler. It turns out it didn't work.
It didn't support MP3 CDs.
But I am able to plug in my MP3. I got a hard drive full of stuff.
It's right, sure.
Awesome.
But a lot of people have a car with a CD player.
Yeah.
And it just plays standard audio CDs.
Awesome. Now the sermons?
Yes. For $29.99, they will get in the mail once a month audio CDs of the sermons that we enjoy on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
I give them. We have wonderful conversations afterward about the scriptural lessons, the life lessons, how to improve yourself, your family, your community, your witness, your business.
Yeah.
cover so many important relational things and the eventual science and archaeology and history and language and
we don't avoid those topics at Denver
Bible Church. As you present the gospel of Jesus Christ, you become a pretty well-rounded person with a lot of interest if you're motivated to continue to study God's Word.
So now folks can get the monthly sermons on audio CDs.
And for $29.99 a month.
And of course, the monthly Bible study continues. That's been going through the Bible now, I believe, for 13 years?
That's about 14 right.
14 years?
We have dozens of the books of Bible available in verse-by-verse studies. And most of that is audio.
Yeah.
You could download it online or you could get our MP3 CDs, but we have some like you're holding.
I got a couple right
on
here.
DVD.
Daniel, the Book of Daniel.
Oh.
Boy, that's a favorite.
That was one of our most fascinating studies. It has to do with the end times. It has to do with God's intervention. Mm. It has to do with courage. And it is so applicable, Doug, to the Christian life today that we're living today.
Absolutely. And now, how many discs does this turn out to be, Daniel? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five DVDs.
Wait, 7 volumes. Wow.
So seven. Seven DVDs. It is so much fun to do these studies. And not everybody could come to Denver Bible Church on Sunday morning or Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people listen to this show. They live all over the country, some in other countries. And so you can get these studies from us. You could subscribe monthly. Like if you want the monthly Bible study videos, you can get that. Now, that is more expensive than the audio.
As well, it should be.
Yeah, it's very involved to produce it and all, edit it. They're $44.99 a month, and you get the monthly Bible studies. Typically, that's a few hours of Bible study a month on DVD, like 4 studies once a week through the month. Also, you could get the sermons on DVD or the sermons on audio, and you could get our monthly Bible study audio or DVD, and we have topical videos.
Yeah.
And they're so much fun. We will mail to you 1 video every month. Most of them we produced right here at Bob and Your Life.
Right.
And they're classics.
Mm-hmm.
But some select our third party, just stunningly fabulous DVDs.
Yeah, a lot of great creation stuff, a lot of great science stuff,
yeah,
a lot of great apologetics.
Yeah.
We've only got a minute left. Folks, the way to help the ministry the most is to subscribe to one of the monthly programs. Not only do you help support the ministry, but you will also be blessed by a lot of great biblical instruction, wisdom, knowledge, and study. It's awesome. If you're listening online, just go to kgovstore.com. There's a place where you can start.
You could subscribe online, or you can call us 1-800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. Some people only listen on the radio. They don't know how to spell my last name.
Oh, yeah.
I don't blame them. It took me till high school to remember. ENYART, 1-800-8-NYARDS, ENYART. 1-800-836-9278.
Bob, I want to thank you so much for allowing me the blessing of being in the studio to formally kick off the telethon for February. We look forward to another awesome year of Bob Enyart Live at KGOV.com.
Yes, and Doug, we had a great show yesterday with Joe Scott talking about the Ron Paul supporters at the abortion clinic. It was a stunning, stunning report. So if anybody didn't hear that, go to KGOV.com. Listen to that, Leslie Hanks, about Komen and Planned Parenthood, and so much is going on. So, hey, may God bless you.